Blog Talk Radio.
I'm William Bell, and I want to express my sincere appreciation for the opportunity of being with you today. Looking forward to a great discussion for the next hour. We're going to be talking today on the subject, reversing negative patterns with positive beliefs. Reversing negative patterns with positive beliefs. We normally on this broadcast talk to you about fulfilled Bible prophecy. And, of course, we view that as important, but we also view many other things as important as well. And, of course, at the top of the list in many occasions would be how we change our beliefs in order to change our behavior. We know that most of the things that we do in life are a result of the way we think and according to the things that we believe. And not always are the things that we believe and think about very good for us. Sometimes they could be very negative. Sometimes they could be very detrimental to us, and as a result, cause us a lot of grief and a lot of pain. And so we want to, from time to time, help people who are seeking to break free from that mold, break free from that limiting prison, break free from the conditions that seem to have overwhelmed them in life or taken them unknowingly into areas and directions where they seemingly do not choose to be, but at the same time feel that they have no control over such situations. Now, we are going to give you a number that you can call in and ask questions should you have questions. The number is 646-378-1919. Again, the number is 646-378-1919. Feel free to call in and ask your question. We will do our best to get your questions on the air as we discuss the matter today. Now, we're talking on the subject, reversing negative patterns with positive beliefs. And, of course, we all have some form of negative patterns. We have some things that we want to change in our life. That's what New Year's resolutions are all about. Many people make New Year's resolutions, and some people have given up on making New Year's resolutions because they feel that there's just no hope for them. They feel that they've tried in the past. They have been frustrated with their lack of results or inability to follow through on the things and goals that they set for themselves, and so they throw up their hands in despair. We want to encourage you and say that there's no reason to do that when you have proper tools in place, and if you have some guidance and you're willing to use those tools, that there is quite a bit that you can do to effect some change in your life. So we want to talk about some of the opportunities that you have to create this change in your life. Now, when we talk about changing our thinking, when we talk about reversing negative patterns with positive beliefs. You know, we're trying to get to the heart of the matter. We're trying to get to the focal area where we need to concentrate. And I believe it starts within us. It starts on the inside and works itself out to the outside. Everything that we see on the outside, our circumstances, our conditions, the places where we are, the things that we acquire, the things that we do, things that we have become are a result of what is inside of us. I believe it was Zig Ziglar who said, you are what you are where you are because of what's gone into your mind. You can change what you are, and you can change where you are by changing what goes into your mind. And therefore, we will approach it from the standpoint of dealing with that core area of our being, and that is with our minds. And therefore, we want to, first of all, begin with the mind of all minds. Now, we understand that not everyone may believe in God, and that is, of course, their preferences. Some people claim to believe in a higher intelligence. For me, it is a God who has revealed himself. It is a God of design and intelligence who has revealed himself. But the point I want to talk about is, first of all, looking at the image that we choose for ourselves. We can choose our own image. We can choose a human image, or we can even go below that and choose an image from beasts and birds and creeping things, one even less than that of man. Or we can choose a higher image. We can choose to think like a higher being. And we'll say a little bit more about that as we go along. But the first thing I want to talk about is that God said, "Let us make man in our image," Genesis 1 and verse 26. And in the image of God, we find intelligence. In the image of God, we find power. In the image of God, we find wisdom. We find holiness, righteousness, knowledge, capability. And all of these things are part of the image of God. And thus, when man is truly functioning at his highest level in life, he is functioning in an image that leads or tends toward the divine, toward higher ground, rather than toward a stagnated level or toward a lower ground. And so what we want to focus on is the things that take us into the higher ground as we reverse negative patterns with positive beliefs. Now, one of the first things that affects us when we start talking about reversing our negative patterns with positive beliefs is we have to deal with the matter of fear. We have to deal with fear because there's a lot of fear that exists in the minds of people that causes them not to make changes that are needed, that are necessary, and that are helpful in their lives. So let's talk about fear for just a moment. Now, it has been said by many, and I think this is a very accurate description of fear, that fear is false evidence appearing real. It is false evidence appearing real. And when we have fear that immobilizes us, and I'm not talking about the fear that could be considered as reverence, I'm not talking about fear that could be considered as wise caution so that we at least, you know, look before we leap or watch left and right before we cross the street as we were taught when we were children, and then move forward. I'm talking about the fear that immobilizes us and that causes us to do nothing or that causes us to do detrimental things because we are too afraid to move forward. If we're going to change or reverse negative patterns, we've got to have some courage to do it. A lot of people are trapped into their negative behaviors, into their negative patterns, because they are afraid to do something about it. They are afraid of challenge. They are afraid of the unknown. Some people refuse to get into relationships because they are afraid of intimacy. They are afraid of being vulnerable. They are afraid of being in love. They are afraid of having other people who might have power, control, or influence in their lives, and so they fear that. Some people fear success, believe it or not. There are people who are prone to stay in a very lackluster condition, a situation where they are steeped in mediocrity because they fear success. It seems that every time they get to where they're about to break through, to break out, and to break away, they break down. And they never actually achieve the level of success that is possible for them because they fear success. We've heard of people who fear failure, but there is both the fear of failure and there is the fear of success. Fear of failure is when people just continue to focus on their failures, and that's the area that they run into. But also we have people who fear success, meaning that when they start experiencing good things, they get into good relationships, they achieve more status on their jobs, promotions, they begin to earn more money, they always do something to sabotage that success, and therefore they never actually attain anything long-lasting. People fear wealth. You know, they think that the Bible teaches that money is the root of all evil. Two things the Bible says about that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil, and therefore expressing an attitude that one has about money where he actually makes money a god, so to speak, And there's another passage that says that money answers to all things. Therefore, it's a very needful tool. Money makes a good servant, but it makes a very poor master. And that's the message that we need to get across in the Bible. But we'll have more to say about these things. I'm just talking about how fear enters into the picture when these things are discussed. And so we want to consider some of these things. Now, I believe we have a caller, and if you have a question, we want to get that question on the air. So let's see if we can...
Hello?
Question. Hello, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
That was pretty easy to get through.
Okay, great.
You just started, didn't you, at 11 o'clock?
Yes, I did.
Where are you guys located?
I'm in Memphis, Tennessee.
Tennessee?
Yes.
Oh, neat. I'm over in Canada, actually.
Okay. Well, great that we were able to reach you in Canada.
Well,
and what's your name?
I was just, oh, look at that, 1111.
What's your first name?
What the hell? Why did it just stop?
Why did it just stop?
Hello? Why is it stopped?
You're still on the air.
Oh, yes.
Do you have a question?
Did you see that? It's 1111 right now. Anyways, I'm sorry to bother you. Do you know anything about prophecy?
Yes, I do.
Do you have any idea if there is prophecies that have been seen in the past, you know, taken through time, through evolution, through the Bible and the Word, that really today just doesn't make any sense?
Well, there are a lot of prophecies that spoken of today that don't make any sense. Normally, I spend quite a bit of time speaking about Bible prophecy, and if you check out some of the archive lessons, you will see that.
That's great. I'll
and,
do that.
Did you have a particular prophecy in mind? That's not necessarily the discussion that we have today, but since you're on the air, I'll be happy to at least...
No, you know what? I want to go and stick with your theme. Can you just verify with me what you're talking about, health and like wellness and the development of positive thinking and prosperity and self... I think that most definitely it all starts from the Word. Now, the Word, not the Word that was, I believe, was conceived as the Word of God before, but the new Word of God. Now, I don't mean to sound like that I'm being blasphemy, but I think that there is a chance that we might have conceived the Bible to be kind of backwards. And I know it's kind of, seems kind of odd that I would even have the ability to say that I even know what it is that I'm talking about, but I have been in the Bible for reading it constantly for like almost over a year now. Hold on a second, please.
All right. Well, we'll wait. Yes,
hi. Hi, sorry. And I just realized that that my life has changed completely. Like, yeah, I'm in this state of delirium where life, in the way I perceive life, is kind of slowed down. It's kind of come to like a halt, not in a bad way, but in a new enlightening way, where stopping yourself kind of, you know, gives you perspective. But you have to make some sacrifices, and I think that when they're talking about wealth, we have a problem with money controlling us because we are enslaved by sin. And because we're enslaved by time and age and, you know, we want to get in as much as possible in a short amount of time, and we never really can catch up, you know, and that just causes a mental stigma and also a journey through failure pretty much through your whole life because there's just not enough time to get anything done. I mean, somebody even just trying to achieve something, well, one of their dreams, I mean, you get up during the day, you have to do all the housework, you got to do this and that, and then, you know,
by the time you're
exhausted, it's like that witching hour, and you want
to
just
sleep.
All right,
excuse me for a moment. Let me ask you a question. You said that you don't have time to do or to achieve your dreams. Let me ask this. Do you place a time limit on your dream or your goal that you are seeking to achieve? Let's say... Is it a short-term goal? Is it a intermediate goal? Is it a long-term goal?
Well, see, that's an amazing question, and that's really the key. But back when, probably about, I'd say, not more than a year and a half ago, I was completely stuck in a long-term goal that I thought that I could achieve in a short time. And now I'm in a long-term goal, and things are moving by like super speed. Lots of time has passed, but I don't feel that it's really, you know, it's been a sacrifice to me. So actually putting a, you know, a time limit on it is really, it's a constant tick, tick, tick in the back of your head saying, you know what, you haven't done anything yet. It's another day, you haven't done anything yet. And I was doing that for so long, and I had to really just sacrifice everything, you know, like my body, my house, my, you know, my job, even my children at some point.
Right. Well, it's never wise to sacrifice the things that should be priorities in your life when you're trying to achieve something. They should be a part of that.
Well, I disagree, because Jesus said on the bank of, you know, when he says, pick up your cross and be fishers of men, he was also talking about going and not looking back at your wife, not looking back at your husband, your children, leave them behind. You have to be of the, you know, of the God in you, not of the flesh. And your body is representing a structure of hold on.
Okay, I think what you're trying to say is
that they're just
related
to
a prophecy that was given concerning, or at least a command that was given concerning Lot and his wife, and when God told her not to look back. But the reason for that is because there was an imminent destruction that was going on, and so when things are of, you know, when you have emergency situations, when things are imminent, you can't be focused on things that are the common everyday issues. You have to move forward.
Well, but that's what happened to me.
When you set a goal, you're supposed to set what's called a SMART goal. And when you set a SMART goal, you're going to have a specific goal. It must be something specific. It must be something which is that can be measured. So you've got to have a way of determining when the goal.
Hello? Shit.
We were talking about goals there with the caller, but a SMART goal is simply one where it's specific, it's measurable, it is attainable, and you have time, a time limit on the goal, and it is also reasonable. So that's what the R is for. And when you have that, of course, you have the opportunity and you have the privilege of reaching your particular goal. Now, let's continue on as we... Okay, I think I lost you there for a moment.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Yeah, did you hang up on me?
Oh, no. I don't know what happened. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. I wasn't letting you speak, so you just had to get rid of me. Cut.
No. That was absolutely a mistake.
I don't know
what happened. But at any rate, I'm glad that you dialed back.
I'm so, just playing.
I don't know if you were able to hear, but what I was saying was you have to set a SMART goal. A SMART goal means that you have something that is specific. There has to be something definite that you want.
What if it's the smartest goal that anybody could actually, you know, be a part of and have the faith beyond all belief and to actually represent the oxymoron of somebody that could, you know, even try to begin to challenge such a task and find themselves completely in this miracle of life that where they observe themselves as, like, you know, say the ultimate observer or the God that lives, you know, in the world, that can, you know, look back and say, you know what a precious, precious being according to the actual irony of what it is that I've lived. Now, I know this kind of sounds odd, but my life has been based in complete and utter sin and corruption. Now, not in a sense where you would even know it. Like, I am like the... you know, epitome of facade. Like, you would see me and I would be somebody that would look together, you know, have, you know, the right things to say, you know, use your hands properly, make eye contact, you know, have all the right jobs and, you know, all the right people. And you know what? Feeling like I've lived a lie, you know, so to speak, for my whole life. So what I'm getting at is I'm having a hard time with what it is that I've discovered in the past year. I just had a baby 3 months ago, and his name is Josiah. And in Jewish, they call him Josiah, or Yeshua, Josiah. Now I have completely and utterly, you know, humbled myself to this possibility. But the more I actually read and the more that I follow these type of programs or, you know, like sermons or Bibles or, you know, like people that have like these audio discussions and blurbs, and I've gone across the board in my faith. So I've covered, you know, Judaism, I've covered the Islamic, Hindu, Tao, all these, like, you know, just briefly. But you know what I found is that there is so much that I see that shouldn't be seen. You know, like I was questioning myself and saying, you know what, I shouldn't have this gift. This is like, you know, a very, very powerful thing that I hold. But it was also such a, it was a curse, because when I would see these truths come out of the Bible, I would scream and yell and weep that, you know, that somebody would be putting me in a place of prophecy, you know, like a prophetess, so to speak. And I have believed in my every part of me that right now you are speaking to the daughter of Zion. Now, it does sound arrogant and, you know, it's not possible, but they've been prophesizing about this coming of this, you know, Antichrist, of this Messiah, of this Savior, of the end of time. Now, I can simply tell you that it is nowhere near what it is that it's been seen. They do this almighty fire and brimstone and, oh, you're going to hell and crap. You know what? I, in my life, in its actual perfect balance, I have more, like, evil than most people would have. But in the same regards, people that are too organized or too structured or working and laboring under the sun for a man, you know, for money, just to accommodate their sadness or their depression, or to feel that they have their, like, you know, surrendering themselves to, you know, a world that they can't keep up with. And their whole lives, you know, 70-80% of their lives are spent working. And I mean, God says that he doesn't want us to work under the sun. He wants us to work under the heavens. And that meaning that we have to see a bigger picture. That I believe, honestly, that what I found is, are you there?
I'm here.
That there is a shade of gray over the enlightenment of what it was that we started out with. So, you know, the whole idea of an ancient world that, you know, evolved through our lives right now. So, like, right now we would be prophesized. Someone in the Bible right now, way back in the day, is prophesizing about us talking, and that we're sitting by a computer, and John was saying that there's a beast, and, you know, in Ecclesiastes or Ezekiel, they talk about this beast and the cherubs.
Okay, let me interrupt you there, and I do apologize for having to interrupt, but I need to move on. Let me just say this to you. If you have a pen and paper, I want you to write down a couple of things.
Okay.
Number one, if you will write down Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 22.
Luke 21, verses
20 through 22. The second verse I'd like for you to write down is verse 32 of the same chapter.
Okay, so it's Luke
chapter 21.
21.
Verses 20 through 22.
22.
Now, I'm going to answer a couple of your questions, and then I'm going to have to move on and present the lesson. If you want to come back in later, that would be fine, but I'm going to go ahead and
okay, can I just intervene just shortly? I'll be very quick.
Let me tell you why I was giving you the passage.
Okay, sorry.
See, the reason that many people have problems with prophetic themes is because they do not recognize from the Scriptures, and they go to the Scriptures to find these prophetic themes, but they do not understand that all Bible prophecy has now been fulfilled already. It has been fulfilled for almost 2,000 years. That's why I gave you the passage in Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 22.
Well,
it says that when you see Jerusalem, and this is Christ speaking to his disciples within the first century, He says, when you see Jerusalem compassed or surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. And he tells them, let not those who are in the country enter into the city, those who are in the city to flee out. And here is why. He says, because these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. So he tells them that in connection with the Roman destruction of Jerusalem, all things will be fulfilled. And then finally, he says in verse 32, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. So his point was everything within the first century, everything was fulfilled, rather, within the first century. So there are no prophecies, new prophecies today. This is what I deal with on a daily basis. If you go back and check the archives, you'll find plenty of material on that. And the last thing I want to say before I have to continue on is simply this, and that is that you ask the question, what is the one thing that the most primary or important goal people should set for themselves? I think the Bible answers that very well as also. Jesus asked the question on one occasion, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Or what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? The answer to that question is to be in a right relationship with the God of heaven. And that is done through Jesus Christ, from my understanding of Scripture. Now, when a person
now,
does
but
that,
what you're saying, though, is you're separating yourself from the Lord and from the
goal
testimony.
That could be attained, and that is what I would suggest that you focus on. I'm going to have to move on. I do appreciate you calling, and you may continue to listen in if you like. I'm going to continue on with the lesson. Thank you so much for calling. Now, we were discussing the subject of fear, and when we talk about fear, we were looking at some of the things that people fear in terms of success, in terms of wealth, in terms of intimacy. There are times when people fear conflict, people fear poverty, and people have this fear of being one way or the other, you know, wealth, riches, or poverty. One of the statements that Job made, in Job 1 in verse 21, he says, naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return. But he still said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was okay with a lot, and he was okay with a little, and therefore it's our thinking that determines where we're going to fall. And if our thinking is permeated with fear, then of course we have a tremendous concern and problem. Now, also, through fear, we can bring certain circumstances upon us. So when we talk about reversing negative patterns with positive beliefs, fear should not be a part of that which controls us, because through fear, we actually attract the negative things in our lives. We attract the things that we don't want in our lives through fear. Job said in Job 3 and verse 25, for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. That aspect of greatly fearing it, the emotion that's surrounded with fear, the things that are prominent about fear can cause an attraction of these things into our lives. And so when we understand God and we understand the kind of mind that God wants us to have, it is a mind that is free of the limitations of fear. For example, in 2 Timothy, or rather in 1 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 7, that's 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. These things are incompatible with the fear that grips us and that holds us back. So in order to free ourselves from negative beliefs, we've got to have a mind that's positive, a mind that's sound, and we've got to eliminate the fear, the false evidence that appears real. Now, we were talking in the conversation with the lady who was on just moments ago about goals, and our thoughts are goals. Every thought that we have is in some way a goal, and it's something that we focus on. And so in life, we need to know where we are going. We need to know what our direction is. We need to have a plan for getting there. And that's where of course, goals come in, and people look at, you know, many of the larger goals we may set for life in terms of, you know, one day I want to finish high school, one day I want to finish college, one day I want to get this job or establish this business, and I want to achieve this in life. But we have to understand that on a day-to-day basis, we have goals in our lives or thoughts in our lives that are actually goals, and our minds begin to fulfill those goals even as our thoughts. And this is why we want to know where we're going. We want to see the end from the beginning. So when we think about that, let's just talk about some of the thoughts that people could have when we and the goals that are the results of those thoughts. Ask yourself, have you ever said something like, whatever can go wrong will go wrong? You know, that's what they call Murphy's Law. And some people live under that thought paradigm. In other words, they think there's always something that's going to always go wrong, and they usually get that because that's the way they are programmed. That's the way they think. Another thought is, I can't afford it. And so people trap themselves into a pattern of never having enough or never having sufficient means to acquire what they want because they have programmed themselves with the thinking, I can't afford it. Well, when you say, I can't afford it, you are creating a goal so that your mind actually strives to complete that goal of not being able to afford it. And then what will happen is you will look at and see and come up with all kinds of reasons of why you cannot afford it. Some people say, I am unattractive. I'll never find a mate. I can't learn. I can't speak well. And all of these are simply goals. And we have this, this always happens to me, and we can just fill in the blank with whatever it is. On the other hand, if we focus on positive things, we tend to get positive results. It's just like I mentioned from the beginning. If we focus on the things that are positive, then positive things will begin to flow into our lives because we are what we, and we become what we think about all the day long. It's a passage in the book of Proverbs that says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that tells us that deep down inside, we have thoughts within the subconscious mind, in the at the subconscious level, as opposed to the thoughts that might be on the conscious level. This is why when people could say something about you that you truly don't believe, it may be true because they see it in you, and yet at the same time, you may deny it on the conscious level and not realize that that is actually a part of your character, a part of your personality, a part of who you really are. So we have to learn how to understand the goal orientation of these thoughts if we're going to change these thoughts, if we're going to move beyond these thoughts. Now, we serve a God who wants us to be in good health. We serve a God who wants us to prosper. We serve a God who wants us to have spiritual health. He wants us to be blessed in a spiritual way. We find the text in 3 John chapter 3 and verse 2 where he says, I would that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So God wants us to be in health, but do you know that there are people who engage in a lot of negative self-talk in terms of their health? I knew a person years ago who used to always want to be sick. In other words, the reason they wanted to be sick was that they wanted to get some time off work. As a matter of fact, they would complain, and they would, almost every time you see them, I never get sick. I wish I could get sick so that I could have some days off work. Well, I used to look at that person and think, what a tragedy to want to be sick. That's not the wholeness that God desires for us, and it shouldn't be the wholeness that we desire for ourselves. But because this person said that, later on in life, they had a very serious illness that certainly took them off the job for some years, and also is something that is ongoing in their life to this very day because they asked for sickness. Poverty talk, people talking about poverty. talking about sins. These are the things that God does not want in our lives. He wants us to prosper from a health standpoint of view. He wants us to prosper financially and materially, and he wants us to prosper spiritually. Second John 3 and verse 2, all of these are the things that God wants us to have. But if our thinking is focused on the negative, if our thinking continually sees these things, we're going to attract and draw into our lives the result of our thinking. Now, in Genesis 1 and verse 11, the text says, every seed brings forth after its own kind. Every seed brings forth after its own kind. And thoughts are seeds that we plant into the heart. Now, we can simply deposit them and let the wind blow them away. There's a casual thought. It doesn't really have that much effect on us one way or the other. But the thoughts that we nurture, the ones that we cultivate, the ones that we water, so to speak, these are the ones that grow. And, you know, a man can only rise, conquer, and achieve by lifting up his thoughts. And we lift up our thoughts by reaching higher and not by reaching lower. I want to talk about the mind for a moment, because the mind is where the thoughts come in. Now, consider this. We have houses that we live in. And in our houses, at the top, we have a roof. And the reason we have a roof on the house is because we want to keep the elements out. We don't want it to rain in our houses. We don't want it to snow in our houses. We don't want raccoons crawling into our house. We don't want those things in. We have locks on our doors, so we keep intruders out. We also have burglar alarms to warn us when people try to make attempts to get into our homes. We have windows that we close and lock. We have curtains that we pull together when we don't want, anything coming in into our houses. And not only do we have that, but some of us go beyond that, and we have firearms in our houses. We have kitchen knives and pistols and baseball bats, things to keep negative things out, negative people out of our homes. So we spend quite a bit of money. We spend lots of time. We even get training and instruction on how to protect our homes. And these are things that can be destroyed, and we can go out and buy another one or find another one. But within our minds, that which makes us, we don't spend time keeping out the negative thoughts. We don't take as much precaution to ensure that the wrong type of programming does not enter into our minds. And these are things that we have to focus on. I want to share with you a couple of quotes. And one quote is, if anyone advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life that he has imagined, he will meet with the success unexpected in coming hours. Henry David Thoreau. You see, we've got to focus in the area where we want to be. We've got to focus in the area of what we want to accomplish, and we will follow those goals just as much as if we focus negatively, we will focus and follow the negative things in our lives. Now, let's talk about how we can change our thinking so that our thinking can become positive. Our thinking can lead us to achieve and to attract some of the good things in our life and reverse the negative things. One of those ways is to use a process which we call canceling out the negative thoughts. In other words, we've got to stop that from the very beginning. And when we have a negative thought, don't just let the negative thought sit there. You know, you can lay a seed on the ground, and even if you don't cover it up with dirt, it will take root and begin to grow. So if you have negative thoughts that enter into your mind, and negative thoughts enter into our minds on a daily basis, don't just let it sit there, but actually do something about it. And the way you do something about the negative thought is you cancel that thought out. Sometimes we have people that will actually say, cancel, cancel. I heard Mark Victor Hansen, who is one of the persons who authored the Chicken for the Soup Chicken Soup for the Soul books speak about canceling out his negative thoughts. And, of course, he's a person that has achieved quite a bit in life, but he still has negative thoughts like everybody does. But he says when he has them, he cancels them out immediately. And in so doing, he removes the negative thought. So rather than saying what we can't do, what we can't be, what we can't accomplish, we should rather strive to replace the negative thought with something that is positive. Replace the negative thought with something that is positive. So if I say something that, you know, I can't do this, turn that around and say, I can do it. The point being is your subconscious mind doesn't know whether what you're saying is real or not real. The point is it accepts it as real. And accepting it as real, it's going to start to provide or make provisions for what you claim in your life. Now, initially, when you begin to do this, it's not going to seem that it has that much effect. You're not going to think that it actually works because it takes a little bit more time. It's just like planting a seed. You don't plant a seed today and it sprouts up the next day and produces a crop. It takes a little bit of time for that to happen. So that's why you nurture the seed of your thoughts in order for them to produce. But you've got to replace the negative thought with something positive and with something good. So I would encourage you to do this. I would encourage you to replace the negative thought with something positive, something that you truly want, not what you don't want. In other words, don't focus on what you don't want, but focus on what you do want, and you are more likely to achieve what you do want. Now, the next thing that you would want to do after you replace that is you want to affirm the new belief that you have. You know, don't just leave it out there, but affirm it. And what I mean by affirm it is you want to write out some affirmations. Now, affirmations can lead to frustration. I want to caution you. Affirmations can lead to frustration if you don't follow through properly with them. You heard people, you know, maybe they get up in a motivational meeting and they go rah, 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 and they get all excited and they say, I'm this and I'm that, and then they go back home after the meeting's over, run into a few negative problems, and then they say, well, this stuff doesn't work. Well, I'm not talking about, you know, motivation and hype. We're talking about an actual system that will allow you to reverse some negative patterns in your life. And you write out these affirmations, and you put these affirmations in very conspicuous places. In other words, you can put them on your desk. You can put them on your computer screen, or at least at your computer desk. You can put them in the bathroom, on your mirror, put them on the refrigerator, put them on your nightstand. And each time you see that new thought of where you want to be, that new behavior that you want to have. Let's say if you've had a habit of putting yourself down. If you have a habit of putting yourself down, then change that into something positive and empowering that you want to say about yourself. Write that down and then place it in those places, on those cards, sticky notes or postcards or whatever, or index cards. And then each time you see them, even when you're not thinking about them, it's going to trigger something within your subconscious. And each time you do it, it's making another impression into how you are going to make the change. Now, it takes about 6 weeks for this to really take effect, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to have some major shifts along the way. In other words, the first week, you probably are going to be going through that adjustment phase, and you're probably going to go through this kind of, you know, okay, doubt here, a little doubt there, and maybe a little bit of progress here, a little bit of progress there. Don't worry about that. That's natural. That's going to happen. What you want to do is continue on, because by that next week, you're going to have a bit of a shift, and you're going to start feeling the change from the inside, because what's happening is you're rebuilding yourself from the inside out, and that is the most important thing. You have to understand that we are what we are and who we are on the inside, not so much what we are on the outside. Our outside world is just a reflection of who we are on the inside. The people that are in our lives are the people we have attracted because of the thinking that we have. And so this is what we are trying to deal with, and this is what we are trying to get you to focus on. So you make out these affirmations, and you post them, and you see them, and give yourself time. It takes about 6 weeks to change a bad habit, so be confident that it will take place. Now, here's another very important thing. Now, did you ever wonder why, when you read the Bible, if you do read the Bible, God told people 6 days to work and to labor when he gave the law of the Sabbath to the Jews? He said, 6 days you work and labor, but on the seventh day you rest. And then he even gave them laws for the Sabbath for the land. He says, you sow the land for 6 years, and on the seventh year you let it rest. And you'll find that in Leviticus 25 when he talks about the year of Jubilee. But he said, even let the land rest. And he said, if you let the land rest, I will make it produce for 3 years without you having to sow the land, cultivate the land, or do anything to it. I will make it produce enough to last for 3 years. Well, do you know that there are people who believe, kind of like the lady that was we were talking to at the beginning of the show, that she was having problems just working, willing, and achieving no good results. It's because you cannot will your success. You cannot will the attainment of what is good in your life just by trying to will it. You work against it. Actually, you create a negative feel that comes up and says, no, you're not going to have it because there's too much energy focused on it. In other words, you've got to release. You have to relax. You have to be able to let go in order for things to move positively in your life. Now, here's what I'm saying by that. In order to make these affirmations work and these new behaviors take place, you have to spend some time in relaxation. And I would suggest that you spend about 15 minutes per day relaxing. Now, I've suggested this to people before, and do you know people who work 40 hours a week or 80 hours a week, whatever they're doing, 60 hours a week, some of these people say, I cannot find 15 minutes in my day to relax. 15 minutes to shut off everything, telephone, television, the interruptions that come from family, all of these things that bombard us on a daily basis. I can't find a place, in my home, a space of time in my office or wherever I am, to shut out everything and take 15 minutes to relax. Now, let me tell you why it's necessary to relax, because your deep innermost thoughts are deposited into your subconscious mind. Again, the passage says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. When it talks about that, it's talking about your subconscious mind, not the level of your conscious mind. It's talking about where you are processing billions of bits of information below the level of your conscious mind. That's why when you sleep, you're dreaming and you're seeing pictures and you're feeling things and you're talking, and there's all kinds of sensory perception going on in your dreams because your subconscious mind never sleeps. It continues to work. Well, that's where the essence of who you are is deposited. Now, and when you're doing that, in order for, and you notice that you don't have those kind of dreams until you start to relax. Now, you can do what what's called daydreaming in the daytime, and you'll have similar type of visions, et cetera, but you've got to relax and use your imagination. So that's the next step after the affirmation. You have to use relaxation and your imagination to focus on the new image that you want to become, the new behavior that you want, the new goal or dream that you have. You've got to relax first and then use your imagination, because the imagination works effectively when you are in a relaxed state. It doesn't work effectively when you are rushing and pushing and striving and trying to make something happen. So, that being the case, spend some time to relax. Listen to your breathing. Relax all the parts of your body and get in a calm state. And then visualize and see where you want to be. Focus on the image of what you want. Let's say if it's and I could give you all kinds of stories about how I've achieved various things in life simply of using that process and of accomplishing dreams and goals by spending some time to relax, because that way I'm releasing it and I'm not focused on it. You know, you do that and the thing seems to just be attracted to you. I remember on one occasion, I will share this with you. I remember on one occasion when I was seeking to purchase a larger home, and it was one much larger than I ever bought, much more expensive than I'd ever bought. And I would spend some time each morning visualizing the kind of home that I wanted, what I wanted in it, just, you know, the various rooms, the library, the theater room, the music room, various other amenities in the house. And it was quite amazing that I remember sitting in my chair one morning visualizing it, and then that very same day I came across this property. Didn't even think I was going to buy it, had no idea that I was going to purchase it, and it just so happened that the person who built the house, it was a brand new house, the person who built the house was a person that I had gone to school with, or at least grew up in the neighborhood with me, and it was an absolute gorgeous house. I live in that house to this very day. But the point being, I saw the house in my mind before I ever purchased it, and everything went so smooth. It wasn't a matter of whether I could qualify for the house. It wasn't. All of those things fell into place very easily. And when I thought about how long ago it had been when I had visualized this house and some of the things that were in it, it was almost 10 years ago that I had visualized some things that were in it that I had forgotten about and totally released. And once I had moved into the house, I said, why is there a theater room here? Why does the stairway lead up to the theater room? It's because that's what I saw in my vision. Now, I can give you example after example after example. Let me give you one more. There was a case where some athletes were practicing their basketball shots, okay, two teams. Men equally skilled on both teams. One team went out on the court and practiced their shots for X amount of time. The other team never went out on the court. They simply relaxed, used their imagination to see the ball going in the goal, and they practiced in their mind for the same period of time. Do you know at the end of the process, they both had achieved the same increased percentage in their scoring ratios? And that is actually what happened. So people use their thinking to improve their lives. They use their thinking to improve their health. They use their thinking to improve their relationships, to attract and to bring people into life. So why spend time focusing on negative things when it's much easier, much more powerful to focus on positive things and put in the effort to do them? Now, so we have to affirm through relaxation, and we affirm through using our imagination, because the subconscious mind works in pictures. You've heard the saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. So you've got to have pictures. This is why you take time to visualize, to go out and look at what it is that you're trying to achieve, get some image of what you want, maybe get a mentor or something that reflects where you want to be. Write down the characteristics of what you want to be. If it's behavioral changes, character changes, whatever they are, write them down, visualize them, and take the time to relax. And then the last step in that is to train yourself in the new belief. This is where you act as though you already have it. We call it fake it till you make it. Act as though you already have it. See, if you say, well, let's say you're a person that is very critical. You know, you're always criticizing other people, but you want to be complimentary of other people. Well, and you want to give a compliment, and somehow it just turns out to a put down. It turns out to be a criticism. And I know if people do that to you, you know how it feels. But if you would act complimentary, in other words, act in a way where you're always complimenting people, even if you don't feel that way, just act that way and do it. See yourself that way. Imagine you're already there. Visualize the things that would be in place if you were doing this. And you know that's one of the best ways to achieve things in life, is to make sure that you are depositing into other people's psychological good. And so if you do that, and when you do that, you act as though you are already where you want to be. Don't sit there saying that it's never going to happen. Act that way and visualize yourself that way, and that's the way you will become. I heard about Tiger Woods and how even when he was a child, you know, he slept with the golf club in his bed. All his life he saw himself as a golfer, long before he ever got to be, you know, the championship golfer that he is today. And this is one of the things that we are suggesting to you. This is how you reverse these negative patterns with some positive beliefs. Every man is where he is by the law of his being. The thoughts which he has built into his character have brought him there. And in the arrangement of his life, there is no element of chance but all is the result of a law which cannot err. We find that in James Allen's book called As a Man Thinketh. It's a great book, a little short book. If you ever have the opportunity to pick it up, I would suggest that you do it. Here's another quote from the same book. He says, "Men do not attract that which they want, but that which they are." So success in life starts from the inside out. Have you ever seen people who win the lottery? And I hope that I'm not describing any of you who may be listening today, but I want you to think about this. Haven't you seen people who win hundreds of millions of dollars in the lottery? And it really doesn't matter the amount. It could be 100,000, it could be a million, it could be 100 million. And then you read about those same people a year later, maybe 2 or 3 years later, and not only have those people lost all of the money that they won, but they also went into deeper debt than they ever were in their lives. Why is that? It's because you do not attract what you want, you attract what you are. Now, I just use the idea of the lottery and dollars because people can understand that, but I want you to think about what that means. I want you to understand this. The reason they lost the money is because on the inside, in their hearts, they were not $100 million people. They were not million-dollar people. And I've had people encourage you, and I think there's a gentleman by the name of Jim Rohn, maybe you've heard of him. He said, everybody should have a goal of earning $1 million. Not for the $1 million itself, it's really not a lot of money these days when you think about it, but for what it will make you become. In other words, you'll become $1 million in value. And so when we seek goals, goals are designed for us to be something, not so much to have. It's all, the order is be, do, have, rather than have, do, be. Some people say, well, when I get this, I'm going to have, you know, I'll have this and I'll do this. No, that's backwards. That's incorrect. It's when you be something, then you will do something, and then you will have something. This is why people like Donald Trump, for example, since a lot of people know who he is, can go out and make $100 million, lose $100 million, and then go back and make it again, because he is $100 million or more in his thinking on the inside. So if you want to be a beautiful person, if you want to be a person that has wonderful relationships in your life, if you want to be a person that is positive, if you want to be a person that has good character, if you want to be a person that is spiritual, if you want to be a person that's knowledgeable, if you want to be a person that's talented or an expert at something, become that on the inside using some of the strategies and some of the principles that we shared with you today. When you start doing that, you start attracting things in your life rather than forcing them into your life, and they will remain as long as you continue to cultivate those kinds of beliefs, those kinds of thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Reversing negative patterns with positive beliefs means that those beliefs get deposited into the core of our being by canceling out those negative thoughts, replacing those negative thoughts with the positive thoughts, but then affirming those positive thoughts and new image by posting up those affirmation notes. Our affirmations work only when we're in the process of change toward a positive goal and end, and then focusing on those by relaxing, using your imagination to give your subconscious mind pictures of who you want to be and how you want to be, working toward that end, because I'm not here to tell you that just changing your thoughts is going to do it. You've got to follow through with the action. Act as though you are already there. Train yourself there. Fake it till you make it, if you please. It may sound trivial, but it's very, very powerful and very, very important. And with these, you will reverse the negative beliefs in your life, and you will tend to get the positive and achieve things that you never imagined were possible for you. I'm William Bell. It's been a pleasure being with you today. We hope that you'll come back and listen to some of our lessons on Bible prophecy. And from time to time, we'll come back and give you more information on how to rebuild yourself from the inside out so that you accomplish and achieve and be more in life as you want to be. May God bless you and keep you. Thank you for listening.